Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us this afternoon. It's the last trading day of the year, and it's Friday, December 30th, 2011. And welcome to the Gold and Silver Financial Review. My name is Bosco Kacharovich, and this program is brought to you by Central Metals, your personal gold and silver bullion dealer. We're located here in the Rose City of Windsor, Ontario, Canada. Our website is centralmetalscorp.com. Our phone number is 519-915-7542. We will be accepting email questions during the program, and you can direct those to mail@centralmetalscorp.com. That's mail@centralmetalscorp.com. We'd just like to remind our Canadian listeners, we have RRSP qualified gold and silver bullion coins and bars. For those of you that are interested, you could just send us an email and we can get you details on that. Also, for our global clients, we do have vault services available where you can store your existing metals in Canada, or you can purchase through us and have your gold and silver bullion stored in a vault in Canada. They are fully insured, fully allocated, segregated, and your metals are sealed in a container, and you will be issued a vault receipt number. We carry everything from gold bullion coins from the Canadian Mint, the U.S. Mint. We also have other coins overseas. We strictly deal in investment-grade bullion coins, both gold and silver. We also carry bullion bars, 10-ounce silver bars, 100-ounce silver bars, even 1,000-ounce silver bars. We can get those for you. Today's program, we have our regular guest, world-renowned economist, Mr. Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. It's always a pleasure to have him on. Hello, Bob. Are you there?
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact.
Wow, thank you very much. It's quite an end of the year here. We have gold coming back strongly today. What do you have for the prices in gold there?
Gold's up $36.20 right now, and that offsets yesterday's loss. And yesterday's loss, actually, on paper, was far greater than the closes. The gold was off almost $40 yesterday, and then it came back toward the end of the session. All the shares came back, and let me see what the close was here. It was in the outside month, February. Thursday, Friday, that's right. It was up 23.76, but the spot market was down. And silver, that's wrong. I picked up the wrong thing. Gold yesterday was off 16.70 after having been off close to $40, and the spot market was a little bit weaker than that. And spot market and silver was up 8 cents yesterday. It was up 56 cents in the March market at 27.80. And I think we may be seeing, you want percentages on that? I think there's a 60 to 70% chance that we've just seen the bottom. And I hope I'm right. I didn't expect to see a deep correction like this, but you never know what the central banks are going to do, the powers behind government, the Illuminati, and they do what they want to do. And right now they're trying to keep gold from going up $50 on the day. because that would put it at 1600, and that would make them feel terrible. So please make my day and go in and buy some gold bullion. On the spot market, we've got an hour and 25 minutes to go, and of course the outside markets trade until 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So with that said, we've got a very strong market. I would think it would cause some short covering, and maybe that's some of what we're seeing. The shares are up, but I don't know the depth because I don't have the numbers in front of them. I'm watching the tape, but you only get trades here and there. You can't watch them all.
Right. So that was actually one of our listeners' questions, asking if the bottom is in now. So you say there's a 60 to 70% chance that we've already hit the bottom in gold and silver in this correction?
Yes, and I'd be a buyer today, but I bought last week and I'm out of money right now. But I'll be getting some more in a couple of weeks, and you only can do what you can do. But these are great opportunities. I mean, these people are insane. They're keeping the price down, and the world is buying all the gold and silver. And, you know, when all is said and done, you're going to be looking at prices on gold anywhere from $8,700 an ounce. Who knows? As John Williams, the eminent economist, says, I mean, it's to infinity.
Right. That's unbelievable. You know, it's... but. The way that they seem to be printing money, I guess anything's possible, even though just looking at the year's performance, we have, I mean, just this year's silver, depending on what it closes today, it would be down only about 7 to 8% roughly, and gold would still show a positive return this year, over 10%. So it's, I mean, that's quite a significant bull market that started, 10 years ago, and it's shown pretty much a positive return every year for the past, 11, 12 years now?
12 years, over 20% a year, based against 9 major currencies, both metals, on average. And so we're headed for another maybe 15% gain for the year, but that's not important to me, except to point out that the trend is your friend, and we are in a bull market. After 12 years, when I see these nincompoops on television telling us that gold's a bubble, I mean, what are they talking about? How many of the years did they spend in university in business classes? How many years did they spend as commodity, as share brokers? None.
Right.
They have no right to be making those kind of announcements. And that fits everybody in the financial community. Yeah, everybody's got an opinion. But when you charge people for an opinion, or you try to influence people unduly, with no basis whatsoever professionally, you're causing people harm. And these people should think about that. Of course, they're not. They're thinking about the $1 million salary they get every year. Or with the talking heads like Limbaugh and that group, they're talking about making $50 million a year. And interestingly enough, I do not have my own shows. I'm on other people's shows, 30 or 40 of them a week. And if you go to TalkStream Live, and you should go there, when you go to TalkStream Live, and I'm on with somebody who has submitted for TalkStream Live, you'll find I'm always in the first five, and more often than not, I'm beating Limbaugh and Beck and Hannity and a whole bunch of them, and it drives Fox crazy. In fact,
I think important things about those statistics is that compared to the other announcers, aren't you the only one with actual hands-on experience as a broker in managing people's money?
Well, there's two other people who have been brokers who are involved, Jim Sinclair and Max Kaiser. Max was at an ethereal level, and so he didn't really get into the day-to-day operations of markets. Sinclair was really one of the top traders, if not the top trader, in gold during the years that he was in the business. But he wasn't in as long as I was, because he ducked out in 1981. And I didn't retire until 8 years later. So he had about 21 years experience. I had almost 30. And I was a hands-on broker. I managed hundreds of millions of dollars. And I had discretion on 99.8% of my accounts. So I made all the decisions. And so I had 6,000 accounts. I can assure you nobody else did. The average brokers get 200 accounts, if he's lucky.
Right. So listeners, you know, should take that into consideration. You know, when you're watching financial TV or listening to other broadcasts, you got to consider the source of the advice that they're giving. If you're the announcer or the reporter has no experience, I mean, you should take all of their advice with a grain of salt. I mean, you know, they're out there just to report the news as opposed to give advice. And that was one of the other discussions I had earlier this week with a fellow subscriber regarding you had started recommending gold and silver related assets over 10 years ago, and we're curious, what was it that you recognized in the markets to lead you to that recommendation? And what was it that other people were missing that allowed you to, you were, you know, one of maybe a handful of people that had recommendations? That was over 10 years ago.
Well, I had been involved in gold and silver related assets, particularly stocks, since 1959, and as a broker. I took my test at the American Stock Exchange that year in February, and I got 99 because they wouldn't give me 100. Right. But anyway, that's another story. And I had studied for it in the New York Public Library, and in the New York City they have wonderful libraries. I hope they still have them. I haven't been there for years. But so I had a basis to gold and silver going up, we'll say, to the fall of 1988. And then I retired, and after, I don't know, maybe 2 years, I went cuckoo. I mean, I just couldn't stand playing golf and tennis every day. So I had to do something with my mind. I didn't care whether I made any money or not. And I started a forecaster. And so we were coming into the year, and that was in 1991-92, coming into the year right after 2000. And what I had been doing is following the market. And so I was with Joe, what's his name? I've only known him for 40 years, the greatest probably tactician in the history of the market. Anyway, I was at a conference with Joe, and I said, "This is the top," and Joe says, "You're right." And it was the first week of April of 2000. And so I got everybody out of the stock market because I had been recommending other kinds of stocks rather than gold and silvers. And I can't think of Joe's last name. It just gets me. But anyway, you know, usually when you get old, you can remember the old things and not the new things. Well, I'm kind of the opposite. And anyway, Joe will forgive me. And so I started in June. Wait a minute. I told everybody to get out of the market. I was one of less than 2% of the professionals who picked the top of the market. The top actually came the third week in March. So I was off by 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. With that said, we started buying there. Goldcorp, Agnico Eagle, $5. Silver Standard, 85 cents. And through the years, I've not recommended trading, maybe occasionally, and that's it. I mean, it was the long term we were looking at. And, of course, over the last 3 years, the government has made sure that everybody in gold and silver and in the shares have gotten trashed because they didn't want them going up. They want them going down because it was the antithesis of what they were doing. And people would look at gold and say, gee, it's going up. There must be something wrong. And that's why they attacked them, and that's why they continue to do so. And you say to yourself, well, how can we stop these people? It's easy. You vote for Ron Paul. Ron Paul owns gold and silver shares and coins. He knows all about the president's working group in financial markets. That since August of 1988 has been in the market every day, all markets, manipulating them. And we've got to stop it. We elect Ron Paul. He's going to immediately reverse that. And he's also going to get rid of the Federal Reserve, among many other things. And so that's how we're going to stop them. And if we don't, you better grab your marbles and head someplace else, because the United States is going to be upside down. They'll start picking people up, and it'll gain in momentum and volume, and everybody will be afraid to say about anything publicly because they might end up in an internment camp or Guantanamo. We used to call it Gitmo, and disappear. He has the power to do that. He's already murdering American citizens outside the United States. There's nothing to say he won't start murdering people in the United States. I mean, do you get the import of this, people? This is how serious this is. The people who control the president are crazy. They're insane. They're psychopaths. And that's why right now, I just got a report from Iowa this morning. And they're talking about Ron Paul having over 50% of the vote. And so what did they do yesterday, the Republican machinery in Iowa? They said that there were too many scary people around and there were terrorists lurking about. So they are going to have to count all the votes secretly. Now, how's that for a republic or a democracy? Now, what the Republican Party is doing is rigging the election. They've already told you they're going to rig the election, people.
Well, that doesn't sound too good. So we have basically people, what we need to understand is, I guess the gold has a I guess if you will, a negative connotation with the general financial markets and the government, and it's basically a way for you to protect your assets. It's insurance, if you will, that will protect you against the things going wrong in the financial markets with government. It's obvious that with a 10 or 12 year bull market still going strong, we have a number of years still left going forward. And Bob, could you address the average working man who is, you know, soon to enter retirement or in retirement already? Why it's so important for him to own gold and silver related assets in his portfolio when he's been, you know, listening to the general advice in the market, being balanced and diversified. Obviously, that doesn't really work anymore. Gold is pretty much your only store of value. What would the average working man what kind of allocation should he have in his portfolio to gold and silver related assets?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because most of the people who I talk to who are in their 60s and have had long-term retirement plans, they're not ahead, they're behind. And, you know, the market is selling at 12,250 on the Dow right now, and how can they be behind? I mean, are the managements of these retirement funds, are they that stupid? Obviously they are. But anyway, with that said, to answer your question, I would say, depending upon, everybody's situation is different.
Right.
More than half. I mean, some people I talk to say, look, 98% in gold and silver related assets.
Mm-hmm.
Period. I mean, where else are you going to go that's safe? I mean, you want to buy General Electric and watch it get down to 5? I mean, that's possible. Buy JPR, which is J.P. Morgan Chase, at 41, and watch it get down to 12, and so on and so forth. There's big downside in the market. I don't think you're going to see big downside in an election year, because the president who's in office, who has done everything he's been told to do. And he said, you know, look, I've done what you told me to do, so protect me. You know, get me in here for another term so that my wife can go out and have these vacations every month to the most exotic places in the world and buy all kinds of things for her and my family and all my friends. Isn't this what being president's all about, screwing the American public? And so they're going to get behind him, and they're not going to let the market go below 10,500. If it gets there, I think it'll fiddle around in the same area that it's at now until the election. And I think that would be acceptable to the current president. Maybe it might get a little bit better. And they'll try to keep gold down during the course of the year as much as they can. And probably we'll see $3,000 gold, and silver will probably be $70 or $80. And that would have happened this year. It didn't happen because they went in, and I'm sure that the selling in gold was, the forefront was probably, Omar Gaddafi's gold was probably sold first. That's only a guess, incidentally. And but this is what they did. And so we should have seen those prices already. But that's okay. We got another chance to buy cheaply, and that's fine. We just buy more, because who wants to own dollars or any other currency for that matter? I don't. I mean, I only keep enough money around to live on, and that's it.
Right. That's why I try and explain to my clients that you have to look at paper money. Paper money is a promise to pay by the government, and they can print as much as they want, you know, and they discount the value of your labor or your cost of cost of living. But when you go to gold, this is the thing that I find a lot of people are have a difficulty understanding, is that everyone tells you that gold is risky and so on, where I suggest that it is the most conservative investment you can make, because it can't be discounted by governments that easily, because mining companies have to, first they have to find the gold, which is very rare. Then when you consider all the energy and labor required to produce 1 ounce of gold, that labor is intrinsic in that unit of gold. And it maintains its value throughout history. It can't be destroyed. So it's, in a way, I look at it as one of the most conservative investments, because it's not the gold that's changing, it's the value of currency that you measure it against. But when you measure gold against cost of living throughout history, it maintains its value, does it not, Bob?
It certainly does. And the final analysis, it always wins. And you're going to see that again in the future, not quickly. It's going to take time. This whole thing is taking a lot longer than anybody had anticipated, and that's probably because everything isn't in place for these people. And so gold is going to keep its value no matter what they do.
Right. Well, I don't see they can't change gold. I mean, they can change their currencies. They can change the stock market and economic conditions and so on. But once gold is produced, it's there forever. We have also, I just was reading an article today that just came out for 2011, the five most dramatic food price hikes for 2011. And these numbers are quite dramatic. We have, I guess, nuts are up 36%. And I don't know if they included politicians there, but it might be a little higher. We have eggs up 22.8%. Apples are up 12.3%. Potatoes are up 11.9%. And cooking oils are up 11.1%. So, I mean, when you hear that inflation is 2% or so, you know, that doesn't include your food and energy. And I don't know if everybody knows that, but generally the CPI numbers or the inflation numbers that are continually quoted in the media, the CPI number doesn't include food and energy, both in Canada or in the United States. So when you're retired, you're not going to be spending your money on new technology or housing or other consumer products. You're basically going to be spending your money on the cost of living, which is food and energy, heating your house, driving your car, eating every day. And those prices are going up much higher than the inflation numbers that the government puts out. So you want to take that into consideration. And the best way to protect yourself against those rising prices is to own a commodity. And the best way to do that is in gold and silver. It's a way to ensure your cost of living against the rising food and energy prices. Bob, we have another question that came in. A listener was wondering if you could explain what the XAU is and the HUI. He continually hears people in the gold market referring to these, I guess, indexes.
Well, the USDX is the U.S. dollar index. It is six major currencies weighted versus the dollar. Highest weighting is to the euro. I'll guess at 56.7%, somewhere right in there. And then other currencies are given different weightings. And if you want to measure currency against currency, that's okay. It's not a good measure because I think it takes in too few currencies. I mean, if there were 250 currencies in there, I think it would be pretty representative. The HUI, was that the other question, HUI?
Yeah.
The HUI is an index which includes gold and silver mining companies which do not hedge. Up until about a year ago, there was, generally speaking, two groups of gold and silver mining companies. Those that hedged by selling gold into the future so that they'd have money now to be able to go into production or increase production, that sort of thing. And then there was another group that wouldn't borrow money via that hedging. And they were in the HUI group. I was never a fan of the XAU, and which is the index that hedges, because I've always felt that selling gold forward was the antithesis to buying a gold and silver mining share. And let's say gold was $450 an ounce, which it was not that long ago, and you sold the next 5 years' production forward to hedge and to get money to do what you needed to do, well, if the price of gold went up, which it did to 1900 in round figures, then you would have lost all those gains. In fact, Barrick Gold, which was the biggest of the hedgers, and incidentally, they were brought into a lawsuit about 8 or 10 years ago, brought by a coin dealer in the United States, which stated that they were rigging the market. And their defense was they were working with the United States government. So any of you out there who don't think that the market, all the markets are totally manipulated by the United States government, you're dumb. You just don't get it. Because they admitted that in court. And then they had to pay the company that had sued, along with J.P. Morgan Chase and others, for rigging the markets. And so the U.S. government does rig markets. And so with that said, part of that was the XAU, which the companies which were within the XAU, what they were doing was they were hedging the market. Essentially, they were shorting the market. And they got away with it because they own the system. We elect Ron Paul, they won't own the system anymore, will they? And the Fed will go back to the Treasury, and the President's Working Group and financial markets will become history, along with lobbying, campaign contributions, the FEMA, TSA, Patriot Acts 1 and 2, and there's lots of things that can be done. And so this is our last chance to get our investments back to a fair and open market, to get rid of the control, and the real control in America is the Federal Reserve, because they control everything. And they're controlled by the people who own them. Well, who owns that privately owned Fed? European bankers, J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, and a whole line of bankers who tell the Federal Reserve what to do. And the spokesman for that group is J.P. Morgan Chase. And that's why they're leaders in all of these riggings in the market. And so we got to stop that. Because if we can't stop that, the game's over. You may as well go and live in Singapore.
And is it any wonder why the Fed and the Bank of Canada recently sent money over to Europe to bail them out? And then, you know, you look at the condition of our two economies, and you know, we're not doing so great either. So why don't we let Europe take care of themselves? So obviously, there's things going on behind the scenes that people aren't aware of, which I think is really nothing new. It's been happening throughout history. For some reason, people just choose to ignore it. But, Bob, we're at the halfway point here, and just wanted to let our listeners know a little bit about the International Forecaster, if you wanted to explain to them how they could contact you and get a copy of the Forecaster.
Well, the forecast is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish on Wednesdays and Saturdays by email. Runs around 35, 40 pages each time. We have a hard copy that goes out to those who are not in the internet, and everything that you need to know each week is in that publication. You can get a free introductory copy by going to theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, FORECASTER.com. Or you can go to www.intforecaster.com, intforecaster.com. For those of you who would like to ask a question, we answer everyone. Or if you'd like a copy of the report, or if you'd like a copy of our report on gold and silver shares, you email us, and that address is Bob, B-O-B, at intforecaster.com, Bob at intforecaster.com. And for those of you who would like to call toll-free, that number is 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178. And you can get the information you need there. I know some of you are not on the internet, about 20%. And so you can get your reports there as well.
Okay, thank you very much, Bob. Looks like we have a listener on hold here, and we're going to take a chance. Let me see if I can figure out how to get him online. One second here. Hello, who am I speaking to? Hello?
This is Cajun.
Cajun, you had a question for Bob?
No, not really. I just...
I'm doing a program with Mr. Bob Chapman now. Can you give me a call back after 1 o'clock?
I'm just listening to your radio, do I? I thought you were on the radio.
Yes, okay. All right, thank you, Cajun.
Bye.
Okay. Well, as you know, I'm new to this, so and I never took broadcasting in school, so I'm not a DJ. But we do have some listener questions. We have one from, he is also a fellow subscriber and a client of mine, Chris. He wants to ask you about Helix Mining Company. If you could let us know about the recent news about their drill permits and where they go from here.
Well, I've got the permits finally. The incompetence that was displayed by the Forestry Department of the state of Arizona was unbelievable. We should have had those permits in May at the latest, and here we get them in December. And of course, too, we've been harassed by the greenies. The latest thing they asked for was pictures of the trucks, particularly the wheels. They don't want the trucks that are going in right now, well, in a week from now, to cut a road into the property. They don't want them to have any foreign things on the trucks that will destroy the desert. And this is the kind of thing that goes on today. But anyway, they're going to cut the road shortly. The drillers are all lined up. And they'll be soon drilling, probably in about 10 days, 2 weeks. And I think they're going to do 22 holes. 18 of them are holes that have already been drilled down to 50 feet. They already know what's in them. But they make them drill them again because there's different rules today. Mm-hmm. And... So that's got to be done, but they're going to take those holes down to 100 feet. And if the same thing is prevalent at the upper level, that is at the lower level, they might have approximately 1 million ounces of gold inferred. And the gold is right on the surface. it would go from surface to 100 feet, which is nothing. And so the cost of production, it can't be over $300 an ounce. And then you get the other costs of doing business, such as the office and all that stuff. And so what do they come in at, $450? So $450 an ounce would seem reasonable. And they should be very, very profitable. They may be able to go into production in June and July. And so it's not that far away. This abominable holdup they were subject to, it was awful. And it really has kept the company from looking to get other properties as well because of the time they had to spend on doing all this foolishness. But anyway, it's on its way. When will they have all their results in? Probably the first 2 weeks of April. And I'm very conservative. That should be a good timeline. In the meantime, they'll be coming out with announcements. And those announcements will keep people up to what's going on. They'll say in one announcement, well, they're on the property and they're going to be drilling very shortly. And then the drilling is finished and the samples have been sent to XYZ. And it'll probably take a couple of months to get the results back. And so that's the way it will go. The stock is trading very solidly in the 60s. We are still being shorted, we being the company. I don't own the company, nor do I own any stock in it. And I lost my train of thought. But anyway, I think they're going to do very well. Oh, the shorts. The SEC has been investigating the short positions for 4 months, and they haven't said anything. And I think that they know exactly what's going on with this company. There's a good chance that there's somewhere between 5 and 8 million shares naked short. And there's a number of ways to cure that. Number one is going in production. Number two would be national or international recognition that they have a gold mine and are basically gold and silver, but mostly gold. And they are also in the market to find new properties. And they're one of the few firms around that has cash. They've only got like 36 million shares outstanding. And so that's not very many. And if they were to find inferred 1 million ounces, the stock would probably have a breakup value of around $8. And 500,000, which I think they believe they have already, would be $4. So, I mean, that's just breakup. I mean, what happens if gold goes to 3,000? So there's a lot of opportunity there.
And that stock is, what, 60 cents now, around that range?
It's 65 in the last trade I saw today.
Okay.
And you got to remember, today is the last day to sell for losses. And after today, you're not going to see much selling. You've probably seen some with people who made money in Helix or made money elsewhere and wanted to offset gains with losses and that sort of thing that goes on during this time of year. But today's the last day. So I think the downside is over. And I think we'll start to move back up during the first few months of the year. I'd say a dollar or more would be doable. And if the SEC does their job, the stock could rocket because these people are going to have to cover their naked shorts if the SEC goes after them. And it's a perennial problem. And we know what they're doing. We can see it in checking. Because we see complaints coming in from market makers saying, leave us alone, you know. And,
right.
You know, how can you leave them alone when they're breaking the rules? You know, nobody cares about anything anymore.
Yeah, I just wanted to explain to some of our listeners who might not be familiar with what shorting means. Companies can, when you say short a stock, meaning that you're selling it before you buy it. So you're making money when the price of that stock goes down. And then when it gets down far enough, you have to buy it back to complete the transaction. And when you have companies that are naked shorting, they're selling a stock without actually having it in their inventory or loaning it out, and they're forcing the price down. And this is why markets or stocks or even commodities, why they tend to rally, is because you're going to have, you have to have both sides of the trade. When somebody sells it, those people that sold the stock and it goes down, they have to buy it back. And sometimes this drives the price of a stock or a commodity up again. It's a little bit hard to wrap your head around that you can sell something before you actually buy it, but this is what Bob is referring to by shorting. We have another question here, Bob, from Sandra. I believe she didn't say where she was from, but how is it that the President's Working Group in financial markets, the power brokers of one country that is completely bankrupt, control the wealth of entire nations as well as people as well as people's wealth, suppressing the metals? Why do countries whose wealth is diminished by this cheating tolerate it? Are countries like China, for example, getting tired of this manipulation?
Well, I think people have got to understand that there is groups of people who, since ancient Egypt, have rigged markets. Sure, they didn't have stock exchanges and so on. Then they were usually money changers, and when they would lend out too much money on somebody filling four ships up with things that were made in that country and shipped off to another country, and the boats were full and they're coming back, and all of a sudden the big storm came, and bingo, they all sunk. And the lender lost his money. And usually the borrower lost his life. And so they would get themselves hung out to dry all through the centuries. And as exchanges developed in the 13 and 1400s, you had a situation where they had a lot of experience going back to Egypt, is 2,500 years from now. And so they knew the game. And through this game, they controlled the nations because they controlled credit and money. And, of course, as payoffs, these money changers would have to lend to governments, and once the king died for whatever reason, or queen, the debts were non-payable. So this is the basic history of how exchanges have evolved. And so these people know what the game is, and this is how they get away with it. The idea was to keep the public from ever discovering what they were up to. And lo and behold, guys like G. Edward Griffin and Gary Allen, who used to be my partner, he wrote None Dare Call a Conspiracy, and I assisted him with that. And people like Alan Stang, and in the intervening years, there's been many people. And there's not many, probably 25 or 50 who have been blowing the trumpet. Look what these guys are doing over here. Well, finally, we have radio going all over the world, and we also have the Internet. We didn't have that 20 years ago. So we're breathing down their collar right now by informing the people of the world what's going on. I spent an hour on the phone with the controlling entourage of the run for the presidency of Marine Le Pen yesterday. I know the Le Pen family that
and
I
who
haven't
is,
talked to
them
for
I
years, but
many
they
of
obviously
don't
didn't.
Know who that is.
Marine Le Pen is head of the Front National in France.
Okay.
And her father before her was the head of that party since 1972. And, of course, I know her father very well. I met him before I ever met her. I met her when she was 19 or 20 years old at a luncheon at her home, in her father's home in Saint-Cloud, which is just outside Paris. There's a beautiful race course there, incidentally. But anyway, they want to be the Ron Paul counterpart in Europe. And Sarkozy's got his hands full. Marines, that's M-A-R-I-N-E, her popularity right now is 20 to 21%. And I think she can come in second in the polling. She can pull 25 or 6%, I think. We'll say 25. And that'll send her, that's in April, that'll send her in May into the final. And she's already said she wants to do away with the euro and the European Union and do something about the immigration problems they have in their country, among other things. And she's got a shot at it. Will she win? I don't know. But if you don't know, if you don't try. And so, on the other hand, I think if Ron Paul gets the Republican nomination, which I believe he will, then he'll be able to concentrate on many of the same kinds of issues. And so I think they have a lot in common. And I think that will work out very well. So you'll probably start seeing a press release that's coming out of the Le Pen campaign in French. And I'm not going to bother to try to translate them. I don't have enough time to do what I'm doing now. And so those of you who are not speaking French, yeah, you can't read them. But maybe I'll do some of them. Or maybe somebody will volunteer to do them for me. That would be great. I haven't been in French school for almost 60 years.
Well, we wish her the best. Hopefully, we can see some positive changes in Europe and in U.S., in Canada as well. Things are changing regarding the listener's question. Basically, it's the classic story of, the Wizard of Oz, the man behind the curtain. You know, you want to be scared of the great Oz, and, it puts fear into you, and until you find out really what's going on, it's just a mechanism behind the curtain that is manipulating everything and causing you to believe in certain things. As Bob said, this has been happening throughout history as well. I read a story before, I guess, during, what was it, the War of 1812? Didn't the Rothschild family, and when Napoleon was in power, didn't something similar happen when they were manipulating the markets in London?
That's correct.
How did
a little bird told me.
Uh-huh.
They knew ahead of time the outcome of the battle, and they spread the rumor around that the British had been defeated, and that was untrue. They already knew that the British were victorious, and the market in England collapsed. And in that collapse, they bought everything for 5 cents on the dollar, and everybody gets screwed. And they use a carrier pigeon to do that. That's why a little bird told me. And it was called Waterloo.
So you see, folks, manipulating markets is really nothing new, and the best way you can protect yourself and preserve the value of your wealth and get insurance against the rising cost of living is to own gold and silver related assets, physical bullion, mining stocks. This is it's just the common sense. When you own an asset in your hand, it's a tangible asset, physical gold in your hand. It's quite a liberating feeling, I'd have to admit. Being in the business, it's nice to just feeling the weight of a gold bar in your hand is gives you the feeling of safety, because nobody else can take it away from you, and it can't never be destroyed. They can manipulate the value of currency that you measure it against, but when you're looking at your cost of living, buying food or preserving your wealth for retirement, owning a physical asset that is directly correlated with food and energy, this is the way that you can protect yourself. And pretty much gold gives you the ability to lock in your standard of living. Whereas if you're invested in the markets, you're exposed to the manipulation of these powerful institutions, and they're looking out for their best interests and their shareholders' best interests, not the average working man on the street. So you want to take that into consideration, folks. And if you have any questions, please give us a call, or you could email Bob. He gave you his email earlier in the program, and you could give us a call. We have gold and silver bullion coins and bars here at Central Metals. We do not accept walk-in business, so you have to book an appointment before you come in, and we can help you out with your RRSP needs. We even have a broker in the United States that can handle your IRA accounts. And, you know, we look forward to hearing from you and hope you continue listening. I'm going to hopefully have Mr. Bob Chapman on again shortly. We're going to send out an email to our clients and keep you updated with what's going on. And I'd like to wish everyone a Happy New Year. Bob, Happy New Year. And as always, we appreciate your time. Thank you very much for advising our listeners and me as well. I've been following Mr. Chapman for many, many years, and he's helped me understand what's really going on in the markets. And just want to, again, thank you very much, Bob, and hopefully we'll continue doing this. We've got some positive response from a lot of our listeners. And, you know, I want to wish you the Happy New Year, Bob, and thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. I appreciate all the people who are listening, and have your friends listen. Each week we come across more and more information, sometimes things that are not in the international forecaster, or sometimes I don't have time to put them in, or I forget, and there's just an unbelievable amount of information available. So listen, thanks for listening, and I do know some of you listen to every broadcast, and I thank you for that.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
Okay, see you later. Bye-bye.